Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Andrea Hansen. And Andrea is a retired teacher, and now she focuses full-time on her first online business, and since then has started three more successful businesses, which has led her to launching RAE, which stands for Realigned Entrepreneurs. And doing so, she now helps pour her love for small businesses into women and make them feel the nudge that they are called for more. So welcome, Andrea.
Thank you so much. We were chatting before this recording, and I think this is going to be a really great conversation.
I do too. And so, you know, for context, before we hit record, we were really sharing bits and pieces of our experiences. And we're like, hey, this is a great conversation because it's just really about peeling back the layers and getting real and raw, to be honest with you. It's like, this is why we do what we do. And if we don't have a place where we can candidly and openly share some of the hardships and the struggles and the things that entrepreneurship, you know, it really encounters, right? So, I mean, it's not this glitz and glam and the things that we see in social media or, you know, what we think an entrepreneur does. It's, you know, to be honest, it's a journey and it's filled with a lot of highs. Oh, but man, are there a lot of lows. And I think that that's the journey and the roller coaster that we're going to talk about. So, Andrea, I'd love for you to just, you know, share a little bit more about you and kind of what led you into, you know, retiring as a teacher and stepping fully into the works that you do.
I love that you said highs and lows, because I would say the opposite of that is just mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the biggest nudge that I had when I did leave teaching, was to just follow this leap of faith into something totally different. So I taught high school math for 12 years. I felt completely called to be in that position. I loved my job. I wasn't trying to leave, but the 12th year in, I was feeling this nudge to just step out and just continue growing my online business that I had started. I had started a network marketing business, and it was my first taste of, oh my gosh, I can work hard and make more money. Like, that doesn't happen in teaching. You work hard and you make the same amount. You know? So I just dove all in with the blessing and support of my husband, and three more businesses were birthed in the following 8-9 years after that. And I no longer am working my network marketing business, but the other three are very alive, very thriving. And I'm just so grateful for that initial nudge to take a leap, because I didn't know where it would land me, but we're here and I get to use my teaching again now with this RAE business, because I get to empower women to also follow their entrepreneurial dreams.
I love that. And it's like getting that nudge, right? You had that own nudge and you're like, I'm just going to go for it. It's a leap of faith. And I think that that really is the spark of an entrepreneurial's journey, is you have something in you. And a lot of times what I would like to compare it to is, it's either we have that nudge and the calling and the knowing, but there's sometimes that those fears and those limitations, like, but what's on that other side? What if I don't make it? What if I fail, right? A lot of all these what ifs, because we're stepping into a whole territory that really is unknown. And that's the thing that I recognize with entrepreneurship as well, is like your vision or your plan, there is no other blueprint or roadmap out there, because no two businesses are alike. Because ultimately it comes from, as an innovator, you're creating something out of nothing. That's what entrepreneurs do. Like, they find solutions, they start things, they create something. Because if it already existed, there'd be no need for entrepreneurship for somebody else to go do something like that. And I think that that's something to really take note, because as we continue our conversation today, I think I want to remind our listeners that the plan and the strategy and the direction that I, Rachel Brooks, is taking is completely different than what Andrea Hansen. And it will be completely different for you or the next person. So I want to set that tone, because as we venture into this entrepreneurial journey, keeping that at the forefront of our mind will help us stay focused, but also in alignment with our vision versus trying to fit the mold or the norm for what we see out there in social media, what we consider is successful, what other people are doing, and we still feel this lack thereof, because we never know the hardships and the struggles and the journeys that are actually the undertone of what you see. It's kind of like that iceberg analogy. So we're just kind of leading that with, before we dive into the conversation, because I want to make sure that you preserve yours and what is true to you and your calling. And hopefully you see some parallels or inspiration or encouragement in today's conversation.
So, I totally, totally want to agree and echo that, because I think the best entrepreneurial coaches, business coaches, are really just really good onion peelers of helping like peel back maybe the self-limiting beliefs or the preconceived notions to really uncover what is this woman really at her core feel called to do. And we need more humans doing that calling, whatever it is, on this planet. And we would have, I am convinced we would have less war and fighting and anger and negativity, because we would all be just like living out this gift that we all have inside of us. And it's different for everyone. Not to go real deep real fast, but that is what lights me up, is seeing people like just being genuine and authentic to what they feel inside.
Yes, yes. And thank you for echoing that, because, you know, to be honest, like even at the start of my entrepreneurial journey, and maybe this is where we just dive in, you know, sharing bits and pieces of that. But it's like at the beginning of my journey, I knew that I wanted to create something so incredible. And this vision was placed on my heart. Like it was a God-sized vision that what we say is like, you know, if your dream is too big that it scares you, then you know that that's the one you need to lead and jump into. But nobody will ever figure that out from the get-go, because if we already had the how-tos, we wouldn't be so trusting in completing this vision, because our sight would only be the few steps ahead, because that's really our limit, right? Mm-hmm. So when we can look into that big vision and cast it out and know that, wow, if I needed this for me, I can't imagine somebody else out there looking for that. And I want to be a place of service. I want to provide something that they can use or experience or be in need for their along their own journey. And so that was something that I really took into consideration, especially going into like the personal branding side and the personal business, because I've been a part of entrepreneurial startups in different spaces. And while they were fun, they did not give me the same reward or fulfillment that venturing out into my God-given calling did. And that's what this kind of entrepreneurial journey has led me to. And so why I say that is because your vision is unique to your DNA, because it's your experiences. Nobody else can create something that is just like yours. Might be similar in context. Like we see, oh, but there's other communities just like yours. And it's like, nope, there's other communities of similar women on similar journeys, but no two are alike, like snowflakes or fingerprints.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Totally agree.
So yeah, I mean, it's been a really cool journey, but it's not, again, not all highs, not all lows, but those moments that we'll take with the mediocrity, which you said is like, hey, things are even keel and we can go from there. And those are the moments that I think are probably the most rewarding, because we can sustain that for a little bit longer. And that's totally where we really get to find that light and encouragement to keep going. So I'd love to hear a little bit from you and your start of that. What did you feel?
As far as?
Just getting started. Like, what was that? Like, oh, man.
I do wish someone would have told me ahead of time that so many people would say to my face their fears as they watched me do this. I had no idea that me just following my heart would confuse and inconvenience and challenge so many people's thoughts when it truly didn't affect most of them. I mean, some of them, like some of the parents that I was teacher of their kid, were like, you can't leave. I have younger kids coming through the system. They need you as a math teacher. I had friends tell me that I was wasting my talent to my face, like angrily. It was wild. And had I known that going in, I think I could have braced for that impact a lot more gracefully. So I like sharing that just to give you guys the heads up that if you do decide to take some sort of leap of faith and follow a nudge, that not everyone is going to see your vision and they don't have to. So that was part of my roller coaster, was all of the self-doubt that I was already feeling was being said back to my face, which was very hard to just like barrel through that and keep going. But I'm so glad that I did, because, you know, then you also have the highs of like having success in your business or seeing somebody's life change. So it is worth it. It is not always easy, but surrounding yourself with good people and reading personal development, listening to podcasts like this, get an Audible subscription, constantly be filling your brain with goodness and positivity to rewire that and to also just help give you a little bit more confidence, thicker skin for the comments that will come.
Yeah. And I can echo the comments, right? Because it's almost like if our inner critic crawled out and took human form and said all the same things that you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
but these are our people and our friends and our family. And you're just like, but what? Like,
yes.
I'm just here looking for support. I'm looking for you to help encourage me because I know I'm about to take a big leap of faith. I know I'm about to do something that hasn't been done yet. And your support means the world. And unfortunately, there's people that just, they didn't get it. But when you have that calling on your heart and you know that there's no dismissing it or ignoring it, then it's like you have to just, as you said, plow your way through this and not look at it as, do I surrender my dreams and my purpose for the sake of others' concerns and fears? Or do I keep doing what I know I'm supposed to be here for? Because in the way for me, I would say, I know how much it hurt me or pained me to be in a situation or a place where I was, that I always said, if I had a me for me back then, how different would my life feel? And that's the thing that I always go back to when I feel like there's, you know, to be honest, like many times I'm like, I just want to quit. I want to give up. This stuff is hard. And that's the thing, especially when you're creating something out of nothing. It is very hard because you have nothing else to say. Can I have a blueprint? Can I have a model? You know, it's not like, I don't know, engineering or some design where you get the blueprint and you're like, okay, 3x4. Okay, I can do 3x4. And it's different. And so it's really just about shared experiences and ways to lead and guide others. And I think, you know, as you keep that near and dear to your heart, that's what will protect you from all these naysayers. And, you know, it's not that they're saying this stuff out of spite or jealousy or like they just don't care and they want you to like fail or something. They're doing it because they're mirroring their own fears and insecurities because they don't know what is beyond, you know, that first step. And not everyone is called to take that first step. And, you know, we're not discounting like those that do, you know, in a sense of like, quote unquote, work 9 to 5 kind of jobs, because listen, we need everybody in all different facets of our life. And, you know, those that are in those jobs, you're doing incredible works too. So don't ever discount that. And don't ever think like, well, if an entrepreneur was saying this to you, then therefore your job isn't good enough. No, it's no different. It works both ways. And our goal is to really to help make this world a better place for somebody, some way. And if we can help that one person who was just like me or you, Andrea, that we know that we did something with, on, and for a purpose.
Absolutely. And I mean, like you said, it could literally be anything that you feel called to do. For instance, one of my businesses, I own a historic downtown building and we gutted the second floor and put apartments upstairs. the most random calling in my life. I've never been a landlord. No one in my family is a landlord. And my husband kind of thought I was nuts, but eventually got on board. But like so many people were saying, do you know what you're doing? Do you know how to do this? I had contractors that I was getting estimates from trying to talk me out of the project before I had even bought the building, like trying to say, do you know how big of a project this is? Like, this is a lot of work. And I'm like, well, I know that I won't be hiring you because you don't believe in me. But like, I had this calling and it, the voice, the Holy Spirit just kept saying, like, there is a bigger reason for you doing this that you can't see right now and you just need to trust. So I kept going, took 9 months to gut the place, put it all back together. Lots of tears, lots of I don't knows, lots of Googling. But every day I get to see little like glimmers of why I own that building and the safety that it has given the women that have decided to rent from me as they're going through a divorce or just need a safe place in between homes. So it has been so beautiful. And so you may not even know why you're called to do what you're called to do, but you just got to trust and do the scary thing. And like I said, surround yourself with great people and read a lot of books.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's so true. You're literally led by blind faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, for what you mentioned, you know, the Holy Spirit and same thing. It's like God placed this thing on my heart and I was just like, who, me? Like, seriously, me? And I questioned, you know, and that ultimately came down to like, you know, me with my book. I mean, that was the very first piece that I started. Well, actually, it was my apparel line at the time, because I wanted something that was so empowering for others as I was going through my own personal growth and transformation journey. And I just kept saying, oh my goodness, if I could come out on the other side and feel this incredible and like new, a whole different perspective on life, finding joy and happiness and love and contentment and peace and all these things that internally were something I sought so long and chased that externally. And I never found that. And that's where I really had to let go and surrender to what it is, you know, who am I? And so as I'm going through this journey and I'm telling people about it, I'm bringing other people along with me and inspiring other people and they're inspiring me. And it felt like, man, this is just fuel. It keeps adding. And that's where my book, I mean, I had zero, I mean, I've never even considered myself a writer by any means. And I had a few people, all these little nudges and pokes and, you know, like stabbing me here, like, you should write a book. Who, me? Write a book? Next one. Hey, you should write a book. Yeah, whatever. Who am I? You should write a book. 5 times this had happened. And I kept asking myself, like, God, why are these people saying this? And literally, it was because my journey and my transformation was so deeply rooted in the spiritual growth and my faith. And my walk, that was something. Now it's like I look back and be like, well, it's all glory goes to God. He transformed my life. And this is the work that I do. So my book, you know, Chasing Perfection, was really about the standards and the expectations that are placed upon women in general to have this perfect life, the perfect body, the perfect thing, the perfect everything. And it's like when we seek externally, that's where we lose ourselves. But if we start to refine and define, we seek internally, and that's where we really discover ourselves, our identity, our passions, our values, our beliefs, our uniqueness right to the core. And that's where everything blossomed in my business. So my I Am Athletics just took a whole rebrand of everything because it's like I wanted that, but yet there's more to it. And so it really got shaped through the journey. And then the Confident Woman came about because as I'm going through these steps of my own journey, it was like, oh my goodness. And I want to take people here and I want them to learn this and I want to grow with them and I want this community and I want to do life with people. And it became this like, wow, if I can do this and I so needed it, there's another woman out there that is sitting there on that sideline saying, man, I need that, if only, right? So all that stuff in the narrative. And so that's our goal. And I think probably similar to you is like, we want to keep stepping through our journey, but grab those women off the sideline and say, come on, we got something for you. We're going to help you. We're going to support you. We're going to shape you. We're going to shift you. And in fact, we're going to encourage you that once you could come out of that darkness and start stepping into your power and your light, just think of what could possibly happen. And we're not saying you got to go be an entrepreneur, but now there's a purpose, right? There's a purpose why we go through these things. And that's where I think for what you and I are kind of leaning towards is like really redefining that, reclaiming that power and redefining it, but giving that experience a voice and a message, and much so even this platform for other women to talk about these things, to share this and say, hey, I too was there and now I'm over here. But it doesn't mean that you've made it, because we're always a continuous work in progress.
And I love that you said that it kept nudging you, because I have a lot of people ask me, well, how do I know if this nudge that I'm feeling is like legit or if it's just some random crazy idea? And the fact that it does not go away, even though you keep pushing it, is one of the biggest signs that it is like God-given. You are supposed to do it no matter how scary it feels. You don't need to know the how. You just need to take one step, take another step, take another step. And the other one that I ask them, I just say, okay, gut check. 5 years from now, would you regret not trying it? And they always have an answer right away. And it could be either way, yes or no. And that tells you right there, okay, I need to do this, or it's not really a big deal. It's just some random thing that popped into your head. And you can let that one go. So I love that you said that that was a real life experience for you, that you had people telling you over and over again to do it.
Yeah. And I shot it down because I was just like, yeah, do you even know the mess that I just went through? Like, nobody cares about my mess. Like, these were the things that I was telling myself. Yeah. And, you know, as I'm sharing this, the fact that they were genuinely interested was validation that God is saying, look, if they're interested and you needed you for you back then, let's keep doing this. Let's do this. So it was all divinely inspired. And so as I continue walking through this journey, you know, really leading through my faith and recognizing now, and this is where we share a little bit of this, like the faith into the entrepreneurship, because with faith, you lead by faith, not by sight. And that's the same thing with entrepreneurship, is that we don't know what's around the corner and nobody has done what you did. So again, we're blindly leading. But if you're following your intuition and that calling on your heart, that's really where we're walking in with the integral purpose into our God-given gifts and talents. And that's where we don't necessarily have to seek outward for the next coach or the next framework or blueprint or any of that stuff, because that's already in you. It's God has called and created you based off of what we call like tags, right? So our talents, our abilities, our gifts, and our skills that are so uniquely designed for you. And that is the genetic makeup, which is why you're already called for this thing. You just have to trust it, know it, believe it, and faithfully walk through this journey, knowing that you're guided and supported. And of course, you know, God made people for people, right? Like, we need others. And finding the right people in the right community and the right people who have been, you know, whether it's one step or a thousand steps ahead of you, being there to help guide you. And that's where I think the biggest differentiator with when it comes to like business is that the experiences on my behalf is that I've always admired those who can guide, not tell me exactly what I need to do, because they don't have the same DNA in me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think when you know, from a client's perspective or even as a, you know, in the business space, recognizing that, because I know personally, like, I've been kind of in bad relationships where I didn't know, right? So I was so trusting and I got misled and misguided. And all of a sudden my business took like, it got all messy. And I was like, that's why. Because you have to be in a space by other people who know the journey that you're on and the same. So just word of caution there as well.
Yeah. And I do want to just reassure anyone listening that when you finally get to the spot where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this nudge. This feels in full alignment. Like, I can feel it in my whole body. When you step into that, you will also get confirmation that you're in the right place, because doors will start opening that like will wow you. Like, expect the opportunities to come flowing in, like the ease, the flow, all of that happens. Like, and I'm not saying there's no hurdles. I'm not saying there's days that I wasn't crying in a pile of sawdust in my building project, but there's always those lifelines that are dropping down. And if you are looking for them, they're always there. And just know that you're not going to be like just fumbling through the dark. There will be people that come alongside you. There will be things that you're going to learn. Like those things come as you take the steps. I helped a friend follow her nudge to leave her teaching job a couple of years ago. And I kept telling her, because the nudge I was feeling for her was, you won't get to see what money income streams are going to open up and become available to you until you shut this. Like, you have to close the door here. And as soon as you write that letter and give it to your principal, then the opportunities and doors are going to open. And they did, like things that she didn't even see coming or expect. So we don't get to know all 10 steps. That's not part of this. Like we're talking about, there's a lot of unknowns with faith and entrepreneurship, but just trust, 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 trust.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about the journey itself, I'm curious to know, can you share some of those, the thought processes that go into the startup, right? So somebody who's may or may not be on the fence and thinking, man, this, I've been having that nudge and I've been, you know, kicking it, like, stop poking me, right? What are some of those thought processes that would go through that individual's mind where you can anticipate that this really is for their calling?
I would say that, well, first of all, that it doesn't go away. And I would, like, if someone booked a call with me and we were trying to mastermind and figure out next steps for them, if they are in the very baby beginning stages and they haven't really done anything entrepreneur-wise, it's a lot of them asking me logistical questions because they just can't wrap their brain around what life would even look like if they weren't in their comfortable, predictable job situation, even though they go there and they don't like it. It doesn't feel aligned. It feels like they're just going through the motions and they want that like passion and excitement to wake up every day. That's usually the conversations that I'm having on my calls. And so they're wanting to know the very beginning things, registering a business, like all those nitty gritty logistics. So those aren't necessarily the funnest things to be talking about on a podcast, nor are they always applicable. So the other things after we get all past those things is just talking about what truly does light you up. Do you want to knit sweaters? Do you want to open a food truck? Do you want to start a full-blown restaurant? Do you want to go back to school and become a therapist? I mean, it could literally be any calling, but sometimes they just need a safe place to talk about those dreams because maybe their spouse isn't supportive or they told their best friend and their best friend kind of made fun of them and laughed it off. And so they really just need that like neutral but supportive person to just talk this out and just look at it from all the different angles. So that's what I love doing for people, is being that safe place to have those conversations and ask any questions.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that's similar to what I do as well, you know, opening the door for conversation. And I think that that's one of the biggest things is like, if you don't know who to ask, you know, you typically, again, tell your friends and family, like, I love this stuff. It's like, you know, these are things that light me up. And they're like, that's a great hobby. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially, you know, entrepreneurs, and I don't know about, you know, everybody, but there's different kinds of entrepreneurs, right? So there's like the creative entrepreneurs, there's the innovative, the tech, the this, the that. So there's different scopes of it. And so when we talk about the journey, it's really about stepping blindly into something that did not exist yet, right? That we're creating something out of nothing. But, you know, I love those conversations where I can help that individual really see beyond their circumstances, see beyond where they're currently at. And that's one of the things is like, you know, for me, I always say like I'm a visionary leader in that sense of like, I can see the big vision and I have this path that I'm being followed. You know, I have a leader.
Yeah.
Now I'm just following in his footsteps. And that's the trust, right? So that's on my heart. So it's where we have these conversations and see this is they can't see beyond their own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading through the short-sighted vision. And that's where the big scariness is because you don't know what that next step is. So taking the leap of faith, taking that first step, but having those conversations where sometimes you don't even know what it is, but you know that there's something more. And so you start asking yourself, but what is this more? So the more ultimately comes down to like, again, what Andrea said, what truly lights you up? And these are things that I always say is like, those are your passions. And passions don't necessarily have to be your hobbies or interests, but it can be something as a twofold, what lights you up and what pisses you off. And mm-hmm. That's where I would say the intersection of that is where purpose comes in, because then you can really say, man, this is the stuff that just makes me so mad, right? Now you have an edge. That's that fire that's burning inside. Or something like, man, this just lights me up. Again, the edge, the fire that's burning inside. And when you start aligning that, it's like, but why? Tap into that why. Why does that light you up? Could be the knitting, right? It's like, because I feel so peaceful. I feel so present. I feel like happy and content, and I can create something, and it's beautiful. It was just a ball of yarn in one moment, and a couple hours later, look at this beautiful thing I created. That's one thing. Or it could be something where it's just like you saw somebody treated unfairly, or you were treated unfairly. And you're like, man, I cannot stand to be treated that way, and I hate seeing other people that way. So great, now that can be a tool that helps you create something, a service to now help minimize that adversity or that risk or that pain point. Mm-hmm. And these are just different ways that you can shape this is now you're like, wow, that's something that did not yet exist. And of course, there's going to be something similar to something out there, but nobody can create something as unique as you because you are created unique. And so that's the difference, recognizing that and owning it and really tapping into that, the internal fire and that spark, which will get you out of bed every morning and say, man, I get to do this because I'm so lit from whatever, positive or negative. And it doesn't, negative not meaning like in a bad way, but it's like, I don't want to see people in that pain point. I don't want to see people in those situations. They're the same motivator, just like fear and excitement. It's the same experience that you feel inside. Your body doesn't know the difference. It's the anxiety, the exhilaration, and the whole way that your body responds to both of those. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And if you do have one of those pain points and you have a ton of knowledge on how to get people to avoid it, you could create a digital product of a PDF or a video course teaching people how to not do that thing or whatever topic it is. And that could be your business. You could be super successful just teaching on this one thing. And on that, I also want to give you the freedom to step into something, do it, and then be okay with that not being it forever. Like, you don't have to be married to this business for the rest of your lives. You can have a nudge in a different direction, and that doesn't mean you failed at this thing. You can set that down and be like, that was meant for a season, and now I'm feeling called in this direction, but there's no way that you would have jumped from here all the way to that next one without that in between. So that is okay to do. I just wanted to say that.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. It's like tapping into that creativity, right? That inspiration that came from within. And so, you know, to use that analogy, it's like having the knitting, right? And all of a sudden you're doing that for, say, a 12-week series on how to knit blankets. I don't know, just using examples. And all of a sudden now you're like, all right, I did that. That was fun. So now you tap into here's a cooking season and you start cooking meals. But you see the through line, it all came from creativity and inspiration, but you had to unlock that. And that's the thing that Andrea and I are encouraging you to really step in and explore and not worry about the how-tos, because you already know how to figure those things out. You might not have known how to knit a blanket, but the curiosity and the wonderment and the passion and interest inspired mm-hmm. you to turn to Google or something and you learn something. Guess what? There's another version of you that's doing the exact same thing. And that's a business. Create the content, curate the content, be the content, teach the content. That's all it is. You're putting out something that somebody needed at one point in their life.
Yeah, just chase the joy. Like, it, I would just love it if all of us were just chasing those things that excite us and light us up. And not everything needs to be monetized, but there are a lot of things that you could turn into an education for other people so that you can have that ripple effect of like more people following their joy. And you being brave, people around you are going to watch you do something new and be like, well, if Andrea and Rachel can be brave, well, maybe I can do my nudge that I've been sitting on and not telling anybody. Yes. So it all plays together. You don't know the ripple effect that will happen in your lifetime. It's just too expansive. So chase what lights you up.
Yes. And don't worry about the perfection aspect of it. You're not going to get it right. It's always going to be a work in progress. In fact, you're a work in progress. Mm-hmm. So just take that imperfect, messy action and figure it out and keep refining and defining. And you don't have to have, you know, with videos, for example, I know, like, as a, like I said, recovering perfectionist, I let so many of those things hold me back. And I was worried, like, but I don't have the perfect background. I don't even have the perfect camera. I stutter sometimes when I'm speaking, or I fumble over my words. And it's like, nobody cares. Nobody's really looking at you under a microscope in that way, because they're coming to you because you're providing a solution. You're providing an opportunity. You're providing something that they need. And we have to get over ourselves and not get so caught up on the logistics and the details and the how-tos and the perfection and all that stuff. It's so minimal. And that is what's preventing you and your dream from getting started, is because you get too stuck in your head that you don't take action. And that's where it's like, you know, for me, it's almost like when I had that epiphany and the realization, I was like, man, then I'm like denying God the goodness that he created me. And I'm like, yeah, that one hits heavier. So I'll just start showing up. I'd rather disappoint people than disappoint him.
Well, yeah, just that reminder that these gifts were literally placed inside of you to be lived out. And yet we just hide them under a bowl because it's safer and we don't get judged and nobody's giving us the side eye. Like, what is she doing over there? And that's not helping anyone. Yeah. Least of all us.
Exactly. And the world needs more of that. They need more, you know, imperfect, messy action things, because it encourages them to take that first step and be like, oh, look, you know, that blanket turned out a little lopsided. Well, so did mine. But you know what? We'll figure this out. At least I gave it a go. And so it's just all about sharing the realness. And I think that that's really what is so needed in our space. And especially, you know, when we live in this virtual world, that we want to see others that are like us. We want to see the genuine, authentic versions of real people doing real things that are really hard and really messy, and take mistakes and mishaps and talk about that stuff, because it helps close that gap so that that person is like, hey, me too. I can do that. I can give it a go. And you never know where that first step's going to lead you. And so we're just here to kind of, you know, share these bits and pieces of some of the behind the scene things, the things that, you know, we've gone through, overcome hurdles, things that we hear from clients and other people. But it's really about giving you that permission to say, ready, set, go. Just take that first step.
Yeah. And if you feel just called into entrepreneurship, but you truly have no idea what direction, but your nudge is just to like create something, one really good activity is to brain dump all of the skills that you do have. And I guarantee you, you have 50 more than you think you have right now. And those can be turned into a business. If you love data entry, just like being on the computer entering data, you could be a virtual assistant for somebody else who is in a company and they need to delegate some of their stuff. You love organizing. You could go to somebody's house and help them organize their pantry or organize their closet that they've been avoiding. I mean, there are so many different ways to take things that you just naturally enjoy. For instance, I hate cooking. It is literally the worst job, having my family be like, what's for dinner every day for the rest of my life? I would love to have a personal chef someday. That is on the bucket list. So things that you enjoy doing, I can guarantee you other people don't like doing and they would pay you to do it. So brain dump all of the skills. If you're a teacher, you probably have 100 things that you do well that you don't even realize. So get them all on paper and be like, which one should I start with? And then you just put it out there. Messy. You throw it on Facebook, throw it on Instagram and be like, hey, I'm really good at this. Does anyone need help in this area? Because I'm charging X number of dollars per hour and I would love to help some people out. You just started a business. You know, just do it. Try it. See what it feels like.
I love that. You know, just really taking the things that are genuinely easy and natural to you and find ways to be of service for others. And I'm over here laughing with Andrea because I remember putting in my journal years ago and always said, what's like these big dreams that I would love to have? And, you know, people are like, I want a mansion. I want a car. I want a jet. I want this. I'm over here like, I just want somebody to make me food.
Yes.
I hate cooking and I hate that. Oh my gosh, that loaded question. What's for dinner? What do you want to eat? I'm like, whatever's available. It's like, I don't want to cook it.
Make it yourself.
So if you're listening, you just had two people right now that would probably take you up on that offer because listen, cooking and making those decisions about food, we make decisions all day, every day. The last thing I want to decide is like, what's for dinner?
Yep.
I don't even care.
Amen.
Whole cereal. I'm good. But the world needs more of what you have to offer. And if we don't take that time for ourselves to discover our own paths and what makes us unique and the things that light us up and really, again, taking that outward to our inward, right? That's before we start thinking, well, what's my next step? What is it about you? Who are you? What are the things that light you up, make you unique? What are your talents, your abilities, your gifts, your skills, those tags? What are things that people around you praise you or tell you you're really good at? Take note of that. So not everybody's going to come at you with this idea and say, oh my gosh, that idea is terrible. Because when you can start to filter those ideas through conversation. So now, for example, the knitting, somebody could say, but you're really good at knitting those blankets. And now when you come back and say, hey, I was thinking about starting a business about knitting blankets, they're likely not going to diss you because they've already validated that idea for you. And you know what? It's fun, right? So not every business has to be this gigantic leap of creating an organization or a legacy or this or that. The entrepreneurship is that spirit within you to take the leaps of the unknown and do something incredible with those gifts, skills, and talents. And if you happen to monetize it, great. If it's based on just contribution and you're doing something out of the goodness of your heart, then, you know, that's something that you can go into like the nonprofits or volunteering or attaching that is a part of your vocation. So not everything has to be of a monetary exchange, but I think really the premise of this conversation is to say, don't let those talents and your uniqueness go to waste because of fear and insecurities or the limiting beliefs and the stories and the narratives that we've been telling ourselves.
Yeah. Amen. Gosh, just want to reach through the screen and shake everyone's shoulders and be like, just do the thing that lights you up.
I know.
The whole world would be a better place.
I know. You just see that the greatness and the untapped potential in others. And that's where I just like you. I want to shake them and say, you have no idea what I see in you. And there is such potential. And I would wish that you could see who you're created to be.
Yeah.
But you have to own that. And that's that journey of self-discovery.
Yeah. And healing from, you know, people saying mean things to you in middle school and you taking them to heart and just like owning that for the rest of your life. And
yeah.
You got to get clear all that muck back to really just get to know you, get to know the God that's inside of you. And clearing out all of that chaos allows you to hear those nudges so much clearer, too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, to go back to that, it's like you get to co-create with your creator. And I don't know what other kind of a CEO you'd want in your business or in your life than God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I love this conversation, Andrea. I feel like we could just keep talking and talking. But of course, you know, for our listeners and our time, I'd love for you to share just maybe one little piece that you want to drop as a piece of nugget or wisdom or anything else to leave our listeners with before we close things out.
I would say one final nugget would be, if you have a partner that doesn't like to take risks, that the thing that has helped my marriage the most is cueing the conversation. So my husband is an engineer and doesn't like anything risky. And so all of these entrepreneurial things have been very challenging for our conversations in our marriage. Once we went to therapy and learned that if we cue up the conversation, it goes 100 times better, where I just say something like, hey, I'm in the beginning idea phase of a new idea, and I just want you to be excited with me for like 2 minutes while I share it. We are not going to the bank, taking out a loan. We're not doing this tomorrow. I will need your skills of poking holes in my idea later, but right now, I just need you to be excited with me. And then he knows the expectations. He's not in fight or flight mode thinking that we're going to be investing $100,000 in this new idea that I have. And he can just be present with me and match my energy on it, which is what I need. Because before, he would just be like, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Because he's good at that. That's what he does as an engineer. He makes sure bridges don't fall down. But once I queued up the conversation so that we were meeting on the same page, our marriage got so much better. So if you have somebody in your life that is kind of what feels like a Debbie Downer, use those skills as an asset at the right time in the conversation.
Mm. That is value. That is value right there. That is worth gold. Because I can echo that as well. And my husband is not the creative visionary dreamer. And we've had numerous conversations about those things. And so we didn't do the same thing that Andrea had shared, but we've gotten to a place now where I could say, hey, listen, I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to hear me out. Because you need a place that you can vent and share those expressive ideas and those creative ideas as well. And if that, having that partner just as a sounding board just helps it come out of you and give shape and context. And sometimes you're like, oh, never mind. It sounded better in my head, right? So
yeah,
a sounding board. So I love that you shared that. That was worth gold. So my question to you back here, so that our listeners, how can they find you? How can they follow along on your journey and connect with you?
The easiest way is to just find me on Instagram, and it's andrea.hansen.82.
Awesome. So, of course, all of that will be in the show notes below. So I just want to thank you, Andrea, for this incredible conversation. Hopefully you guys have taken notes. You're lit. You're inspired. You're like, I'm going to
do the thing,
right? Yes. Just take the messy, imperfect action. Just start. And you don't need to go to the bank. You just need to put out some feelers and see what people would really invest in you for your creativity, your inspiration, your hope and encouragement that you can leave this world better than you found it. And that's our goal. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.